Though they pretend to be kind, their hearts are full of all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, it will finally come to light for all to see. So you may be that person with the hatred and the evil, but eventually it's going to come out. And it'll be there for everybody to see. I guess that's kind of like that guy told me today. He said, I know a lot of preachers over my life that need some help too. I told him, yeah, I know a few of those guys too. In fact, I guess all of us need some help. But I don't think it's limited to preachers, do you? I think it's people, you know, just all kinds of people. It's the human being, and that's the problem, the human being. That's why I call this thing this beast I live in, because it is a beast. It's amazing. Verse 27 and 28. If you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. So that ought to be a good lesson. Don't set a trap for somebody else unless you want to fall in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will roll back and crush you. Now, it may not do that instantly, but you'll get yours in the end, somewhere along the line. So if you're a person that sets traps to deceive and destroy others, you can be assured you're going to reap what you sow, because God said in His Word, it cannot fail. So people that try to do things that will be mean and wicked and evil and hurt others, you're going to hurt yourself. It's going to come back to you. God said it right there. If you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, now, of course, that could be any number of ways to do that. It doesn't actually be a physical boulder, although it could be. It says it will roll back and crush you. And then verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and flattery causes ruin. Now, I've seen lots of people in my life that flatter people when they do something, and they really didn't deserve to be flattered. You know, so if you flatter people when they don't deserve it, I mean, it's nice to say something to somebody that does something nice, but don't tell them they've done something good when they didn't. You know, don't go in and tell somebody, say, for instance, I had a bunch of men working for me, and one of them had done something on an air conditioner, and 75 or 80% of what he'd done was wrong and bad, and he'd done 10 or 20% right. Don't go in and flatter him before all the other guys and say, you're one of the best air conditioning guys I ever saw. Don't do that, because, you know, tell him the truth. You know, tell him you did this part right, but this part here is not acceptable and we need to change. So flattery will cause ruin, you know, so that's, don't go there. Okay, next verse. Chapter 27. Don't brag about tomorrow. Now, a lot of people do that. The book of James tells us about that too. Don't say that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, because, you know, this flesh is about as unstable as anything I know. Is that right, Lance? I mean, this thing can be big and strong one minute, and the next minute it can be history, can't it? I mean, you know, one second. I mean, I think about the people that I've known in my life that were concerned about some uncle or whatever, or an aunt or a mom and dad that were sick and afflicted and having problems, and they come and tell me, I don't know what I'm going to do about my mom. You know, here she is 80 years old, and she's having all this problem, and here they are 50 years old, and they're all so concerned, and they start home, and they're in a car wreck, and they're killed instantly. There wasn't a thing wrong with them. They were in perfect health, but they're dead. Now mom's still alive, and they're gone. It's so easy to die, isn't it? Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. The Lord says, don't say in the book of James, He said, don't say, well, I'm going to go here and do this, and I'm going to go to Israel in June, and I'm going to do all these wonderful things. Then I'm coming back. I'm going to do all this. Hey, if it's the Lord's will, we're going. You know, in fact, we are going, you know, at least have on the agenda to go to Israel here in just a few weeks. But I had a dream here a while back that kind of concerns me. You know, the people that's going to attack Israel is going to be the Russians. Well, I was in a dream the other night. Cheryl and I was together, and I saw all kinds of Russian fighters come in and landing everywhere, and I saw Russian troops coming and doing all kinds of things. And I went running in and grabbed her, and I said, come on, honey, we got to get out of here. And then I woke up. So I thought, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? And then I thought, well, somebody else called us this week or emailed us this week and said that they have now inside information from I don't know who that they believe that Israel will be attacked by Russia in June. Is all this a coincidence? What do you think? How many times can I die, Bill? Only one, right? Well, I die here in Israel makes no difference, does it? As long as I'm serving Jesus, right? So, you know, I'm not going to live in any kind of fear. Come in, gentlemen. You all come in, make yourself at home. I am not going to live in any kind of fear. I don't know if these dreams that God has given me is to warn me about what's going to happen, but I know He's still in control. So I have absolutely no fear whatsoever of whatever is going to happen. But I'm not going to brag about going to Israel and come back. I'm just going to say we have a trip planned, and if it's God's will, we're coming back. If it's not His will for that, then we're going to go home from there. You know, so I don't care which way we go. I mean, all I know is that I know the King. I can brag about that. I do know the King, praise the Lord, and I'm so grateful. You know, when you stop and think about the number of people on this earth, I understand there's about 6 billion people on the earth today. Now, if that dream or that vision that Howard Pittman had when he died in 1979 was real, and, of course, he said he saw all this, and I believe him, but on his little trip to heaven, the Lord showed him that only 2.5% of the people that died got to go to heaven. The rest of them went to hell. Well, when I think about that, if that is a true number and is still holding, I am very grateful that I'm going to be one of those 2.5%, aren't you, Bill?
I'll be right there with you.
You're going to be right there with me, praise the Lord. Well, you know, when you stop and think about this, if you really are a born-again Christian and you really are serving Jesus and you do die physically, you are going to get to be one of those 2.5%. But, you know, he says, this is what's scary in the Scriptures. He says, now there's a lot of people that say they know me, but they don't obey me. And when they don't obey me, he says, this is the way we know that they're liars, that they do not obey the Lord. Well, the Lord tells his people to go to church, but do they go to church? Just a small number of them. He tells his children to not lie. Do they lie? Some of them do. He tells them not to commit adultery. And how many people today are living with someone out of wedlock? Did you know the Scripture says clearly in Galatians and Corinthians that if you're... Now, this is one of the things, you know, that... In fact, Dave, let's go to Galatians 5:22 and let's look at that. We'll come right back here to Proverbs 27. But let's go over there when we're talking about these things. But in Galatians 5:22, this says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Now, this is the way you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to be like if you really are a born-again child of God. Is this right? Okay. Now, he says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Now then, is two going to control our lives? Either the Holy Spirit or who else? The devil. One of the two is going to be in control of your life. Not both of them, but one of them. Now, if the Holy Spirit controls our lives, and this is the way it's supposed to be with all children of God, he says he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Number one, love. We're supposed to love. Number two, joy. You're supposed to be happy. You know, joyful. You know, it makes no difference what's going on. You know, you're joyful. And peace. I mean, you can be right in the middle of a war and still be at peace. You know that? You can have peace in your heart. Then you can have patience. You know, it makes no matter how many problems and trials and tests and everything else we undergo. And believe me, We undergo plenty of them around here every day, you know, every day. There's never any lack of opportunity to develop and test your faith in this place. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, these are some of the things we're supposed to produce. Now, the next verse. Gentleness and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Isn't that wonderful? But what happens if we're not led by the Spirit of God? Take me to those, Dave. That's verse 19, I think. Let's go back up to about verse 19, 18 and 19, 19. Okay, verse 19 says, but when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. Now see, there's two different ways you can go in your life. You can either follow the Holy Spirit, which will produce all those things we just talked about. Or you can follow the desires of your sinful nature. Now, if you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your life will produce these evil results. Look what he says. Number one, sexual immorality. You'll be sleeping around with someone you're not married with. Impure thoughts. You'll be thinking about doing bad things to different people. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. You got to have this or you got to have that. You got to have a bigger house or a better car or nicer clothes or something. But all those things, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, you'll be putting everything before God. Participation in demonic activities. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except you and your own little group. Now, we've seen that, haven't we? Everybody's right. In fact, one day I was talking to a guy, and he was talking about how bad the world is, and he said, Thurman, and this the first time I ever heard this, but I've heard it several times since. He said, you know, I think the whole world's going crazy except you and me, and I'm beginning to wonder about you, he said. He didn't say nothing about him. I got a feeling, you know, that's the way sometimes we look at it. You know that? When everybody in the world is doing something bad, you think, but it says, and you feel that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group. And sometimes those own little groups are little bitty. Sometimes that group's one. You. Is that right? Even your spouse has gone nuts, you know. You think, what's wrong with him or her, you know, whatever.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.